Hey, my friends. Welcome into the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have been enjoying the BrowerShow.com. We've been putting more episodes up there, updating things, having short clips and downloads. And also be sure to contact us if you need anything on here. Send us a message. We're here to help you guys out. We don't give out any medical advice, but we'll be happy to give you supplement, nutrition, diet, or podcast advice, or any help you need with the new website, including basically if you want to work on subscriptions, which gets you 5% off, and also to the expedited express shipping, which is an option now. If you're having a hard time finding that, it's right on the checkout page. Right when you go to checkout, you have regular shipping. If it's over $125, you have free shipping, and they'll have the expedited shipping process. And I'm going to talk about this in a second here, because Trump has finally addressed the issue with USPS now.
And he's talking, I missed this.
Yes, he's talking about, I'll go in the article in a second, he's talking about actually combining it with the Department of Commerce and figuring out how to actually make the post office, at least if not profitable, not hemorrhaging cash. He came out the other day and said, not only is the post office losing money, it's providing horrible service. And it's another department that's
bifecta.
Yeah, it's another department that, again, is being mismanaged and basically run so inefficiently in some cases, not all the time, but in some cases, because, again, it doesn't matter what it produces. It doesn't matter if it loses $10 billion in a year. They stay afloat because they keep getting government funding and government subsidies. And he goes, you know, companies like FedEx, DHL, UPS, they're figuring out how to ship and actually still make money. Newsflash.
You know, there's a reason they talk about going postal.
Yeah.
You know, we had a post office rep, I guess he picked up our mail a few years ago, and the guy, you never knew what he was going to do. He acted completely insane. In fact, I went to the postal, the head guy, the postmaster in Auburndale multiple times and said, can you please give us another rep? This guy is complete and total loony. Now, when you put people like that in positions in the post office, how in the world are you expecting them to actually provide good customer service? And I'm sure he was a military guy, and he may have had PTSD, and I feel sorry for him for that, but he had a wretched personality. I remember one time I parked my truck next to our door in the office in the back, and he couldn't back his little truck up right next to the door, so he took pictures of my truck and turned me into the postmaster because I had blocked his entrance because he had to walk 15 feet. It got that messed up. And finally, you know, we did such high volume with the post office that I said, look, I've had it. I'm going to go to UPS. I'm going to just get rid of you guys. And then finally, the postmaster apparently got paid on bonuses on volume. He gave us a new person to basically handle our account. But, you know, as far as, you know, our drop-off guy. But, Austin, I've never seen anything like it before.
No, and again, that may have been a singular incident with us, but how many other incidents that occurred?
That guy was running a whole route, so it had to be more incidents
right
with him.
It says right here, so that's why I mentioned the Post Service lost $9.5 billion in fiscal year 2024.
Unbelievable.
You know, and that's, godly. And what's crazy about it is, too, it's not like they're cheap. It's not like they're compared
well, no,
to
this is China.
Yes.
And all the special subsidies that Amazon gets. They can't cover the cost.
No. And so this is why I put together the express shipping for everyone on the website. As basically, we really don't even cover the cost on it. But again, it provides a lot better service because it gets to you in like 2 to 3 business days. It gets to the front of the line. You get VIP shipping on it. Because what's happened is now, and this again, I mean, I had another issue yesterday. We ship stuff out the exact same day the customer placed the order. And it sat in Houston for like 4 days before we moved to Arizona. And then it sat at the post office for like 2 days. And, you know, again, we can't change it when it's out of our hands. We do the best we can. But as far as when we're doing the express shipping, it's going usually 3 day select or second day air, which is way more consistent.
Well, again, if they gave the ability for the Postal Service to fire employees who basically don't perform like we would at any normal corporation, but that's what we see throughout the entire
Trump's
federal government.
Trump's actually talking about trying to make the USPS private now. And so, and the issue is, too, there's also discussion in here about the legacy costs with the post office.
That puts everybody out of business.
That puts everybody out of business because it's gotten so bloated now. And I'm not I understand people, they want to, you know.
They make 3/4 of the money approximately that they made when they were running the doggone routes when they don't work after they turn 65.
Right. And then on top of that, a lot of times they can retire early and still get a huge.
And they get full coverage on health care and everything else. So, I mean, how can you do that when you have employees, especially when you're bloated and you're probably 50% more employees than you need?
That's exactly right. So, again, that's why we put together the express shipping on the website at Team Health. Masters. So if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. We're here to help you guys out every single day. And this is an article that came up today. I want to cover this because a lot of people ask me about the houses in Florida. I told everybody for the last few years that pretty much if you're buying a house in Florida, be very, very cautious. The prices of housing in Florida got artificially bloated during COVID, higher than anywhere else in the country. You know, we saw that the average house back pre-COVID was running around, I think, $160,000 to $180,000 in Florida. The average house now in Florida is running around like $350,000. And the price has almost doubled in 3 years, in 4 years, which is not sustainable at all for people to be able to purchase stuff at the same time. Now we've got 6%, 7%, 8% mortgages, which in massively do that. And so this article that came out here now, they're talking about how housing prices rose in the rest of the country very, very slightly comparative to basically the last 2 years. And last 2 years, they went up a lot. But Tampa, you can see down here, is hemorrhaging as far as in prices. And this is why in the metro area, as far as the prices in Tampa and Central Florida have started to actually come down now, because they weren't sustainable, because nobody could afford these houses because the price of and the income and the amount of money people are making didn't change. But the houses literally doubled in 4 years. And so, again, that's why I told everybody, be cautious last few years buying houses down here, because they were really overbloated. And what happened during COVID, one of the reasons why as well, is we had these people from up north in California. They were buying houses down here during COVID sight unseen just to get out of their states. And they were going in and outbidding people that were here locally. And they say, well, it doesn't matter. What do you want? You want $50,000 over asking? You want $100,000 over asking? Done. Close. Wired the money. Because the houses of pricing the houses were so much cheaper compared to the New York and California, massively artificially inflating it. And now it's also happening. So I talked to a good friend of mine who's in commercial real estate and residential real estate in Orlando. Is basically, these builders are sitting on inventory now. They're not moving. And I said, well, what's going on with that? He goes, well, it's interesting now because a lot of these subsidies are all of a sudden on pause from BlackRock and State Street from the government. They were going in subsidizing all this illegal immigration. That was another factor that rose the housing prices up, because you had all this money coming in that was buying up massive subdivisions in one swath to house illegals there with all these government subsidies. We make it fit food.
I'm making a fit food. Give me this camera, Rich.
That's
a big old glass.
Yeah,
I'm making three scoops of fit food and Shaker's a purple easy stick.
You need a shaker?
You have a shaker?
I don't know if I have a shaker.
I tried to find one. I couldn't find a lid.
That's a problem. It's not very helpful.
Yeah, so I'm doing a purple stick and three scoops of fit food.
There you go. That'll get you rolling.
So that should get me cranked
up. I want those earlier.
Well, I just, you know, I haven't had any breakfast yet this morning. I'm out of the $12 dozen eggs because my grandchildren came over and ate all my eggs yesterday morning.
I brought some with me too, though.
But you did. But that's okay. I don't mind. I'll give my eggs to the grandchildren all the time. I haven't been back to the grocery store yet, so I'm going to do the. I have to get some. I got to get some carbs in or something. So this will do it.
But this is why I've told everybody, watch out for this. Now these subsidies are starting to dry up in Florida, and so now these builders are sitting on a glut. There's one subdivision. I don't know if it's got any type of subsidies like that, but there's one subdivision that's going in off 559 down here.
Ridiculous.
It's a huge. It's like 800 residences. And I'm very curious to see if these guys are late around the curve, if they're actually going to be able to sell these things or if they're going to get stuck on it. Because we actually watched a subdivision off Adams Road, huge subdivision, had a road split all the way through, a subdivision on both sides. And it was a really fairly high subdivision.
It failed.
We called it the wasteland for about a decade. They started building it in 06. And by the time they started to finish it, because these houses were kind of as people bought them, by the time they got up, developed just the subdivision by 08, everything crashed.
There's still a lot of empty lots
there.
There
was tons of empty lots. And when it crashed, there were like 12 houses in this entire subdivision. And it was cool because we'd have our motorcycles, all the rockets and stuff, and we'd actually go out there on the weekend and turn the whole subdivision into track day.
Well, and I also taught all the younger children how to drive out there because there was nobody.
All the roads were, I mean, paved, perfect, prep, nice, amazing, great for racing. And it was a private place, and nobody said anything to us. Nobody cared. There were like a dozen houses in the whole area, and sometimes they come out there and watch us race around.
I always made sure I used a pickup truck because Savannah loved to run over curbs.
She likes curbs.
Yeah. She drives great now, though. But we won't take something like a car. We'll take the pickup truck.
So hit a curb like that, whatever.
Hit over a curb, you'll be okay. But then we taught them all how to drive out there because it was like a completely undeveloped It was all, roads were all in.
All the roads were done. No, everything was prepped, but there was no, the houses, like I said, there's like a dozen houses or so.
It's like
the
back gate to the subdivision. They kept it locked with a padlock and a chain because no one ever used it.
The crazy part about it was they had the whole gate locked up. It didn't work, but then you just walked around it. They didn't have any fencing or anything. They finished the gate, but nothing else got finished.
Hence the four-wheel drive pickup truck.
Yeah, you just walk around it, drive around it, you know, skate around it, whatever. But yeah, that was an interesting time. Now it's starting to fill up a little bit, but it's still empty. Yet they're putting all these other subdivisions in. Also, too, speaking of subsidies and waste, this is crazy now. DOGE has found out an insane amount of money that's been misused by the Department of Education.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Vegas hotel rooms, MLB VIP stadium rentals, and more as DOGE finds schools misuse billions in COVID funds through the Department of Education. This is wild here because remember all the money that was going in is this COVID relief funds? Mm. Yeah, they said schools spent money on swimming pool passes and even ice cream trucks all the way down to Las Vegas penthouses. And DOGE has already cut $370 million out of the Department of Education spending on DEI programs. And that's just the start of it. As we found now already, as I've told you guys, we've seen this more and more, the level of waste and fraud has been unprecedented. And I think a lot of people now are starting to get nervous that are in these sectors because they're going, maybe the gig's up a little bit. Maybe I'm not just going to have all this free money floating around.
Well, you know, it's interesting, especially with the ice cream truck part of that. I mean, did I ever tell you my brother Carl drove an ice cream truck for a summer in D.C.?
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
They're all about those trucks up there, trucks.
It was way back in the 60s, and I mean, he's a lot older than I am, and he had ridden his Indian 500 up there.
Yeah.
And he made like about $2,000 that he had for the summer. That was a lot of money back in those days. And he came driving home on the – and he was too cheap to get him a $6 hotel room, Motel 6. And he went off an overpass with his motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he didn't die, but he was hospitalized, and we had to drive up there and pick him up. I'll never forget that. Because he didn't want to spend the $6 on a hotel room. Here's the news. You get really, really tired, and you're about to fall asleep on a motorcycle or in a car, get a room.
Yeah. Yeah, well, $6, that's a cheap hotel room back then.
Oh, right? Yeah. Motel 6, baby.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching some of the numbers. It was this old newspaper cutouts, and they're from the 50s. And the average house in the United States in 1956 was $7,500.
That's right.
For a three-bedroom, one bath. That's right. Average income was $3,600.
Yep.
Do the math on that. That means
$3,600 per year.
Yeah, $3,600 per year, $7,600 for a house. I mean, houses were about 2 years of your income. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case anymore.
Not anymore.
That's what you start having, massive inflation and manipulation of markets artificially with subsidies going in and buying up these houses and subdivisions and pushing the pricing up on them.
Well, what happened is the federal government came in and gave BlackRock and all the rest of these big, huge developers huge subsidies to put these illegals into these homes.
FEMA and DHS. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what it was.
And then you see that with the thing. Let me read this article. This is from Paul Craig Roberts. It's pretty good. It says, artificial intelligence, and now Paul Craig Roberts is calling it out, and Satan are the two greatest enemies of the human race. I thought that was pretty good. He goes, many years ago in the 50s or the 60s, Mad Magazine painted a dystopian picture of the future which AI had taken over life and produced everything everyone needed. Consequently, humans had nothing to do and no longer knew how to work or how to fix anything. Then one day, AI had a problem. No one could fix anything, and the world came to an end. You know, we're going there.
Wow.
You know, we can't find a mechanic any longer, the new ones, that know how to fix stuff. Even AC repair techs, they replace parts.
Well, and the problem is now it's virtually almost impossible to work on some of these vehicles as far as because they're so complicated and the parts are designed to fail now as well.
Well, the other day or last year, the AC here in the studio went out.
Yeah.
And I went up there and it was a drain line issue. And the guy came over and he didn't know how to fix it. And I said, why don't you do this, this, and this? He said, well, you could do it that way. It'll work, but not the way you're supposed to do it. And I said, it's an old unit. Let's go ahead and do it the way to make it work right now, and we'll get it replaced later. And we did. It's still working. It's like the little AC that could. It keeps going and going and going. But you have to think through sometimes on how to repair things. I mean, you shouldn't have to replace the engine because you need a valve cover gasket.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So just give me an example. And then he goes on to say, I have never understood why geeks and scientists think that it's important or an accomplishment to take function away from humans and make them irrelevant. Karl Marx had a much more optimistic view of the future than today's AI geeks. Marx looked forward to a world in which the economy would be organized like a self-sufficient family farm, doesn't work that way, by the way, or manner in which the output of the community was allocated and consumed without the need of markets and profits, thus bringing to an end unemployment, inflation, disruption of life that unplanned market production caused. By the way, that's socialism, that's communism. It doesn't work, because sooner or later, everybody figures out they don't have to work.
Exactly right.
Okay? The result would free human energy for coping with needless hardships. Under AI, humans have less and less to do. He's right about this. I have pointed out for years that AI and robotics produce goods and services without human labor, but robots are not in the market purchasing goods and services. The robots don't, they don't run around driving, right? As humans have no income from employment, how are non-human produced goods and services distributed? I said that humans would have been given a basic income, that would be the way equality is achieved. As humans would not be producers, it's communism again, there's no reason for different incomes based on merit or luck. AI and robotics are the path to socialist equality, but of course, there is no equality as humans are subordinate to the machines. Moreover, what is the point of the humans? Why should AI produce for superfluous humans? And this is a very, very, very good article. I'm going to post it, let you guys read it. But there was a movie that came out. Woody Harrelson was in it. And he was put into this cryo chamber, and he woke up like 500 years from now. And Woody wasn't real bright. And he woke up like 500 years from now, and he found his cryo chamber in a dump.
Oh, no, you're talking about Idiocracy, I think it was. He was part of that movie. The main character wasn't that Woody Harrelson. But, yeah, I think it was Idiocracy.
Well, no, and basically he was dumb when he went into the cryo chamber. He came out the smartest person on the planet.
Like brilliant, yeah. Nobody knew how to do anything. And he goes to that one guy's apartment, and the guy's, like, laying on the couch, eating food everywhere, obese, with, like, 180-inch television with, like, 15 different screens on it and basically all flashing all these different things. He's laying there drooling on himself, eating just in a stupor, and nobody knows how to do anything.
No.
He goes to the doctor, and the doctor's sitting there smoking pot, laughing at him. He goes, oh, yeah, we'll do this. Here, you go take this to another doctor because I don't know what's going on. And he's like, oh, my gosh, what is going on with this?
That's DEI taken to the extreme.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that Paul Craig Roberts is talking about right now, is that when everybody stops knowing how to fix anything or do anything,
right,
sooner or later the population just goes into a stupor like that.
Well, and then he made a comment there, too, though. Like, AI and robots, they don't stimulate the economy with anything.
They don't buy anything.
They don't buy anything. Yeah. They're not going out and going to a restaurant and leaving a tip. They're not going into the movies. They're not going out and doing things. They're literally just sedentary machines that have a specific task.
The only thing they would do is they would produce enough. You'd have to have enough people to maintain the robotic fleet.
Yeah.
That's it.
But the problem with that, as we've already seen at Amazon, they can massively decrease the amount of workers if they have some of these robots in there. But then some of the robots have problems, like injuring people and
running over people. But, you know, we had a friend of ours who worked at Amazon for a while. He said that it was unbelievable how the robotics have taken over.
Oh, yeah.
There were carts running around by themselves and everything else. It was unbelievable how they're doing the robotics. So if you've never been to a full factory that's employing full robotic systems, it's pretty amazing. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to several of my shops over in Germany that were manufacturing cars. I got to go to the Porsche factory and the Mercedes factory, and it's almost amazing how many people are not needed any longer in order to do this. I mean, the car is on its conveyor belt, and the Mercedes is, and it goes through by itself, and it gets dipped in a giant vat of zinc.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, great. And then it goes through a drying thing after it goes through the zinc, and that's all to undercoat the body frame. And it was unreal how there was nobody touching anything. You know, nobody. It was just going. It was going through by itself. It was so strange to me.
Well, I remember one of the coolest things back in the day, back when Disney was actually Disney, and they had the Epcot ride as far as Test Track. This was actually cool before.
It's gone now.
It's gone now, and it's totally some weird ride that was all futuristic. But it took you through the GM factory, mm-hmm, through parts of it, and it showed you all the different things they did. And it was actually a really, really cool ride. And it took you on this test run, you know, like 60, 70 miles an hour on this test track. And now it's all this AI futuristic Tron thing I think they do now. It's stupid.
You remember that time that Flavio, or he's the guy who was on all those romance covers and all these women like to read, and he got hit by a goose.
A big one on the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. But anybody else who didn't have this giant neck would have his head snapped off.
That
kind of hurt his career a little bit.
Yeah,
what's
the statistical probability to get hit with a goose on the roller coaster?
It wasn't a condor. They're extinct pretty much. But I guess it could have been a some kind of duck, I think. I'm not sure if it was a goose or a duck.
Big bird. What brought that up?
Yeah, I have no idea. I guess my fit food's kicking in my brain right now.
Yeah, purple stick.
My brain's having some fun right now, bouncing around. So I just came up. All right, so this is I'll calm myself down. Thank you.
This is pretty cool now. Utah is set to become the first state to end all water fluoridation now. All residences. Entire state, not a county, not a city, entire state. Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill passed late last week to the state will end all community water fluoridation. The new law also gives pharmacists new authority to prescribe fluoride supplement pills.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Pharmacists.
So I don't really know what that is supposed to be. Granted, I don't know who in the world.
It's sure that people still want to stay medicated on fluoride. Remember, it's like a Prozac.
Yeah, I guess they're doing that basically to try to offset this by basically saying, okay, if you want fluoride, you can still get it.
Well,
this taken out of the water supply.
This is because of the mass brainwashing that's occurred the last 70, 80 years.
I mean, I'd still take that. If they take all the fluoride out of the water supply, if you got people that want to go get fluoride pills.
Well, it's frustrating because you get in a shower in a city and you're getting dosed with fluoride dermally. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, it may not absorb very well through the skin, but the point is you're still being exposed to it.
Yep.
Like all that chlorine and all those chemicals in that water. I don't remember your mom. She had her hair highlighted, right? Because she was, you know, she was a blonde when she was in high school. But then she got older and she started having kids. Her hair got darker, so she'd highlight her hair. And if she got into the hotels, Austin, with her hair highlighted, it turned green on her.
Sometimes, yeah, that's all chlorine too can do.
And so what I remember, what she started doing, we'd go down to the gym, and they'd always have these bottled water things at the gym.
Yeah,
you know, you could fill up a container, and she'd ask me to go down there and fill up a container. She'd wash her hair in the hotel with bottled water. You think, well, that sounds ridiculous. Hey, it beats green hair. Yeah, she got mad about it one time. Her hair turned green. She was upset.
Oh yeah, it's just funny right here. It says the bill's sponsor, leader Kurt Colmore, said this is a presentation on the Senate floor. This bill is about protecting our water, reducing unnecessary costs, and ensuring people have the right to decide what they consume. And, man, he's spot on with that as far as that's the biggest thing that I've always had such a pet peeve about with the fluoridation of the water supply is you're being forced to be exposed to it whether you want to or not. That's why we have the water distillers at the office that we sell. And a lot of times you can also get reverse osmosis systems. Also, certain places you can fill your jugs up. I know Walmart, we used it all the time when I'd be on road trips. But, I mean, the research is out there now. We've seen it. We've watched the studies where it talks about how these levels of fluoride are unreasonable risk to children's health, how it can drop IQ points. There's no reason to have this stuff in the water supply at all anymore. So kudos to Utah. Hope Florida's on the next bandwagon with this to get it out of the water supply. If people want to have it in their toothpaste or their mouthwash, they got the opportunity to do that. But don't put it in the water supply, dude.
You know, fluoride is a neurotoxin. It basically makes you servile and infertile, and it's a bad, bad, bad product. It should never have been put in the water supply. It was used in Dachau, the prison in Germany during World War II, because they couldn't get the inmates to swallow pills to make them docile and infertile, and so they put it in the water because that way they would have to take it. And we saw the research from Dachau in 1945, 46, the fluoride went in the United States water supply. That's a problem. They think, well, that was just coincidental. Okay, whatever.
No.
Okay. If that's what you believe, just didn't. Whatever you want to believe, that doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying it's a bad product. It's used as rat poison, and it's a neurotoxin, and it lowers IQ points. And now we've got a massive population drop of IQ, and we're thinking, well, why is everybody acting so weird? Well, their brains don't work anymore. You know, I remember it was interesting to me. I was reading. It was that one psychologist out of Canada. Remember his name, Austin? Good guy. I like the guy. Smart. Now, some stuff he says I don't agree with, but he was talking about IQ points. And he said it was like this. He said, if you have parents who have 150 IQ and they have a child who has an 80 IQ and they basically raise that child, by the time that child's 18 years old, he will still have an 80 IQ.
Yeah.
And I said, if you have parents that basically, the kid has 150 IQ with parents who have an 80 IQ, that child at the age of 18 will still have 150 IQ. It's not affected by, you know, environmental variables. But what's interesting about that, fluoride does affect it. That's the segue, by the way. The fluoride does affect the IQ score because it decreases synaptic functioning, and it doesn't let you think. It makes your mind real fuzzy. And the thing that bothers me, Austin, is this. When you go to the dentist's office,
yep,
and they hit you up with the fluoride treatment, and the dentist wants to come in and argue with you about it. And then finally, after you argue with them four or five times, they stop wasting their time arguing with you, and they just leave you alone. And they start to realize that, hey, this stuff's not that healthy for you because so-and-so has told me this repeatedly, and I've read all these articles. But they don't change their mind because now they charge extra for fluoride treatments. So that's another source of revenue. But the reality is, why do dentists continue to do this and to push this toxic neurotoxin onto people, especially children who come into their office, which is going to intentionally lower their IQ points? It's weird to me, Austin, that we actually have dentists that are highly trained professionals. And not now, let me stop for a second. Not all of them do this. A lot of them are opposed to fluoride now.
Yeah.
But the reality is the it by itself is a massive, massive problem for most people as far as what they do with all these chemicals they put into their bodies. Just thought I'd mention all that to you.
Absolutely. And also, too, this is something interesting. I'm glad DeSantis is bringing this up now. Florida lawmakers filed a bill to study the impact of ending property taxes in Florida. And they're actually discussing putting this on an amendment because it's a cross statewide, countywide, municipality-wide. They're talking about putting this on the ballot in one of the next elections. And there's a good reason why. DeSantis said this. He goes, property taxes are local, not state. We need to do a constitutional amendment requiring 60% of voters to approve to eliminate them or even reform or lower them. We should put the boldest amendment on the ballot that has a chance. I agree, taxing land and property is the most oppressive and ineffective form of taxation. And he came, this is one of the first times I've actually heard a politician bring this up. And you've heard me bring it up for years. He goes, so you buy your property, you build a house, or you pay your mortgage off. And he goes, everything's paid for. He goes, but you still have to pay the government money every year to have permission to live on your property. And he goes, and you've got these excuses like, oh, it pays for the school system. He goes, a lot of people are opting out of the school system. He goes, oh, it pays for local law enforcement. It pays for basically fire, and it pays for trash pickup. He goes, okay. So why are houses now the average property tax like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 in Florida for these houses?
It's insane.
It's insane how high it's going. I mean, you have these big houses. This is crazy. I used to joke about this. We'd talk about, we look at places on like Zillow and Realtor.com, some of these big houses down in like West Palm. Dude, some of the property taxes on those houses down there are hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Hundreds of thousands.
I'm talking like $20,000-$30,000 a month in property taxes. Yeah. A month. And granted, these are big mansions, but at the end of the day, you've seen now how a lot of this money has been wasted and used and basically in other places that it didn't need to be, even right here in our area in Central Florida. We have now, our city has a glut of cash in the accounts. We've had this issue when we've gone to the city commissioners. They refuse to expand any roadways. They will not do any roadway expansion whatsoever. They keep approving more and more and more subdivisions. We keep fighting them. They keep basically outgunning everyone with more and more attorneys and getting stuff approved. Yet the price of everything goes up. Property taxes go up. Cost of living goes up. Insurance goes up. The accounts go up in the city, and they don't want to do any infrastructure expansion in the city, but they want to go buy a little piece of land on the side of a swamp lake that nobody can swim in to do a park in the next 5 to 10 years.
On a lake filled with gators, I may add.
Pay $1.2 million for this little piece of property, like 20 acres, on the side of a swamp. We're planning on doing a park there for children once this other subdivision's expanded in the next 3 to 5 years. I'm like, you pick this lake. Out of all the lakes, this is the lake you choose to buy 20 acres on because you're going to do a public place there. I'm like, really? This is what you buy? Massively over market value.
No, this is the problem that you run into when you have realtors who are also working on the board.
That's exactly right.
Here's the second problem that you run into. A lot of these people have come in from out of state that are in the area that are pushing these developments, and they don't understand what a 16-foot alligator will do to a child or even an adult.
No, they do not.
Woman's walking her dog a couple of years ago by Orlando, up by Claremont, on the side of the lake. The gator runs up and grabs the dog, drags it into the lake. She's got the leash on her hand. She's fighting the gator. The gator grabs her. These are reptiles that don't care that you're a human being. They see you as a food source. And you take this thing like Lake Lowry or Lake Maddie, and they're full of gators. I mean, full.
It's like a swamp.
It's a swamp. It's all mud.
Are always the lakes that are most infested with gators or the swamp bottoms.
They'll have to dig themselves in.
They can trench in, they can sit there, and they can stay basically down in the mud, and then they eat anything they want.
Well, no, you see these bees, a lot of these lakes, they have no waterfowl.
No. No, you're on Lake Maddie. There's no bird. You will not see any birds on Lake Maddie.
Well,
no,
they come up underneath them and just, that's it. And they eat the ducks. And so, by the way, let's go to Germany real quick.
Let's go to Germany.
How many
of
you guys, we're going to have a trip to Germany. You guys want to go?
Field trip.
We're going to do it right now. I will take you to Weißkirche. I will take you to Oberammergau. Then we will leave and go to the Linderhof Castle, and we'll go to Neuschwanstein. You think, what the heck's Ted on today? I'm on protein. I'm feeling pretty good right now. And we're going to jump on the Autobahn, and then we're going to head all the way up to Nuremberg, you know, spice capital of the world at one time. And then we're going to go to Rothenburg up to Tadabert.
Can we hit the Nürburgring track?
Yeah, but if you're going to drive a decent car, you better watch out because they'll put you into the wall on purpose.
Only a 7-mile racetrack. It's unbelievably dangerous.
Well, they get a lot of air. So we're going to go to Germany right now. Their election just happened. And they put a really great guy, not Chancellor Friedrich Merz, as their perfect pick. Here's why he's not the perfect pick. He's the ex-chairman of BlackRock Germany.
You're joking me.
No. He's dedicated to deeper EU integration. He's a member of the WEF's Board of Trustees. Mit Klaus Schwab. Nah, das verrückte Klaus Schwab. Yeah. God, that protein powder kicked me hard.
Yeah, it did.
I feel good. A member of the WEF's Board of Trustees, regular attendee of the WEF in Davos, attended the Bilderberg Group meetings and supported COVID vaccine passports. He wanted restrictions on the unvaccinated, advocated for digital IDs in Germany, and supported EU-wide asylum policies and supports carbon trading markets. Whoa! Good luck, Germany. May pass on going over there right now.
Jeez.
But you were a great country at one time. I'll give you that. But what the heck are you thinking putting an ex-BlackRock dude like this in as chancellor now? So, yeah, so we got to have another Angela Merkel. That is a communist. She was great. Communist Youth League in Germany. She was great in East Germany. Everybody loves her. Yeah, not. And now she's destroyed Germany. So they put another person in. You say, well, why do they hate Germany so much? Why do they hate Germany so much? I guess because Germany decided to put in a central bank, how should I say this, other than the Rothschild banking cartel bank, and basically decided to start printing debt-free currency. And they're so afraid that somebody who may have been alive in Germany at that time or somebody who'd been influenced by all this may decide to do the same thing again. And they don't want that. They want to destroy the dominance that Germany once had as far as an industrial powerhouse. And now they put another one of these boys in there who's going to do that. In fact, the right wing now dominates Germany's elections, but new chancellor, Mit Klaus Schwab, may betray voters to partner with a left wing coalition. Wow, und wow, und ich habe nicht schon sowas gesehen, which means I have never seen anything so stupid, so dumb. And when I sit here and I look at this, I think to myself, wow, these people at one time, you know, were probably one of the best developers of pretty much everything in the entire world. I mean, Mercedes, you know, and diesel and all the rest of these guys, you came in and developed diesel engines and Mercedes and all this other kind of stuff. And yet here we are bringing in Ein Mann mit Klaus Schwab. Go Google Klaus Schwab walking on the beach in his wedding dress. But don't let your kids see it. It's pretty nasty.
Well, speaking of Europe and the whole area,
reminds me of Zelensky.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. Well, he's. I guess they've had enough of him now.
But the difference with Klaus Schwab is that Klaus Schwab's got a lot of power with the WEF. He supposedly got so much backlash that he retired last year. He didn't retire.
Never retired.
No.
This is crazy. Now, Britain's AI spy machine. I told you guys yesterday how Britain has become more and more aggressive at trying to come in now and censor what anybody says. You talk about what's going on in migration. You talk about anything that's now considered hate speech. I mean, to the point they go to people's houses and arrest them for Facebook posts. Now you can watch the videos all over the internet now of that happening. Britain's AI machine gears up for the next wave of censorship. UK is pressing forward with the new AI-driven mass surveillance initiative. I told you guys this. Expanding the reach of its controversial disinformation monitoring apparatus with its counter-disinformation unit. This is nuts here. The project, just like much of the current UK government is doing, raises serious concerns about censorship and surveillance. Imagine that. They went on to say here that essentially they're supercharging AI, and they will go in now and basically issue privacy notice from 2023, and they will collect and analyze all social media posts, including usernames, political opinions, personal data, to help analyze disinformation threats online. We'll collect content from all available social media platforms. The content we review will include names and opinions of individuals, the level of scrutiny even into special categories of personal data, highlight the potential overreach now. So, again, I warned everybody about this, what's going on with social media and what's going on with the internet, and they're showing it right here. Essentially, they said among the flag content that's going to be banned as misinformation is alternative cancer treatments, mask mandates, 5G networks, COVID-19, and a host of other topics. Not allowed to talk
about. Beware the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, synagogue of Satan, pharmakia.
Remember,
it talks about
it
twice in Revelation.
About 10 years ago, there was multiple articles and videos that people were posting about 5G and birds that were basically dying all around these 5G towers and how women were basically...
I've seen them drop from the sky.
People getting cancer and having horrific headaches and having all these health problems, nosebleeds, right when these 5G towers were going up. Because remember, UK was one of the main areas they originally really put 5G super aggressively and made these 5G towers up.
Plus cameras everywhere.
Beta test. And so now... you're not allowed to talk about 5G. You post anything on 5G, they immediately take it down. They come to your house, and they want to have a chit-chat with you about why you're discussing 5G online.
Do you remember that time when you were with me? This is 20 years ago. We were in England, probably longer than that now. And we're in the middle of nowhere, and I got on the wrong Autobahn.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nobody out there. There's nobody on the traffic at all. And I turned around in the median. I did. Man, I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's not a house. There's nothing.
No,
we're in
the like it's literally all sheep.
And
I'm looking around like, oh.
And boom, I get home. I get a ticket.
Yeah.
They got me on a camera from somewhere. I guess it was inside of a, fake sheep or something.
Fake
I don't
tree
know.
Or fake sheep.
I don't, by the way, Trump to usher in the golden age of vaccines with Project Stargate with the aid of Larry Ellison's Oracle to track recipients with precision accuracy. Wow. You know, Larry Ellison is he's a weird one. On January the 21st, the day after President Trump was inaugurated, he announced a massive $500 billion Project Stargate, which I don't see how they're going to fund this, but Ellison says he's going to help fund it, to create AI infrastructure and data centers in an attempt to keep pace with the likes of China and other countries who are heavily invested in OpenAI. When he announced the initiative, a joint venture created by OpenAI, SoftBank, Oracle, and the investment from MGX, Trump said, "I'm going to help a lot through emergency declarations," he said, "because we have an emergency and we need a lot of help. We need energy generation, and they will build their own." He always talks very staccato. He claimed Stargate will build the infrastructure to power the next generation of AI, and this will include data centers, massive facilities. These are big, beautiful buildings. This is, to me, a very big deal. It could lead to something that could be the biggest of all. During the announcement, Oracle CTO Larry Ellison, who's worth probably $100 billion, the fourth richest man in the world, remarked that his investment could lead to the creation of mRNA cancer vaccines that could be created in a matter of days, tailored to the individual and the cancer, Ellison explained. And this is exactly what Austin just talked about with these pharmaceutical companies and what they want to do and how they want to control everything, Austin. There's so much money in cancer.
So much money.
You're going to die by tomorrow with your cancer problem you've got. I feel great. By tomorrow, it's 12 o'clock right now, by noon, you will be dead.
Unless you go to chemotherapy and radiation right now.
That's exactly what they do.
That's exactly what they do.
And you think, oh my gosh, I mean, I'll be dead in 24 hours, 23 hours and 58 minutes, you'll be dead.
Keep talking. Let me know when you want to do chemotherapy and radiation.
You got to go to the funeral home now and pick out your casket before it's too late. And you're like, whoa. Well, how much is it going to cost? Well, you have good insurance. It's going to be about $4 or $5 million by the time we get done, and we're going to guarantee that you're going to live longer than tomorrow. Well, crap. They're lying to you. Number one, you'd live longer than tomorrow anyhow, but they want you to sign up for their $4 or $5 million treatment protocol. I'm telling you, I've seen it, and I'm using some hyperbole here, obviously, but I have seen this over and over again. You've got 30 days to live. And a lot of times it's like they get this little wand, this little – curse wand, Hollywood, that's what they used to call it. You know, they had the little wand they cursed people with. And they basically go, we're going to curse you to be dead in 30 days if you don't follow our protocol. I've seen it over and over and over again. And they scare you. That's how you get compliance, isn't it? We're going to drop you into a deep basin of lava. I don't want to go into a deep basin of lava. Oh, yeah, we're going to dangle you and drop you if you don't do this. Okay, I'll do anything you want. Just don't drop me in the lava. This is the garbage they do all of the time in the petrochemical, pharmaceutical synagogue of Satan, pharmakia industry. When I read this stuff, oh, we're going to have a vaccine that's going to be perfect for you. It's only $1 million. We'll have it made within 48 hours.
Yeah.
But the insurance is only going to pay 20% because they're smarter than you.
And you got to sign off whenever you take the shot.
So that means you're going to have to basically sign over everything you own, all your properties, all your bank accounts, all of your cars, everything you have, anything free and clear of, we're going to get a lien on you, and you're going to pay. Or You'd be dead by tomorrow. I mean, when I see this crap, and I've seen it so many times now in the last 40 years, it makes me want to puke, Austin.
This is a crazy story, man. This is tying into something. This just came out. It came out last night. It's popping up now. You remember we just talked about this $500 billion investment with AI.
We talked about it right just now.
No. This just came out from Apple.
Here we go.
Apple announces $500 billion investment in U.S. amid tariff threats that could affect the iPhone. Apple just announced Monday night it will invest $500 billion in the United States over the next 4 years to build new server factories in Texas. And watch this. Apple outlined several concrete moves in the announcement, the most significant of which construction is a new factory in Houston, slated open 2026. They'll produce servers to power Apple Intelligence, its suite of AI features. The company claims the factory will create thousands of jobs.
It'll also get rid of thousands of jobs.
You wonder how they're going to bring the cash for it.
Oh, they have to.
Just ran it back.
Well, Apple, who owns Apple? BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard.
Wondered how they were going to do it. And I told you how they've been dumping all this AI into these new iPhones. It absolutely sucks. It's horrible. And all they're doing now is they're monitoring and analyzing everything. Now they're building a gigantic AI server in Houston.
Apple came in and did an update on my doggone iPhone, and all my photos are scrambled now. You can't even pull up a photo anymore. It's horrible what they did.
Yeah, Apple's horrible. The problem is they got a monopoly, basically, on the phone systems. Unless you go to Android. Android's just as bad now.
Android's too difficult to use.
We've been talking about this
for me.
We've been talking about this for weeks, how they were going to push this entire AI platform. $500 billion. Kept hearing this number. Now Apple suddenly announces $500 billion. It's injected into the U.S. over 4 years.
Remember what COVID did? 772 new cases today. Yeah. 1,552 new cases today. Google any of them. By the way, new cases of COVID, 374,000 today.
I mean, what's this? What's the probability that they've been ranting about $500 billion for this AI?
Well, when they use numbers like this and they project these numbers, that's all part of the Kabbalah stuff.
They didn't say,
it's called gematria.
They're announcing $400 billion or $600 billion or $100 billion. They're specifically investing $500 billion in U.S. AI data center in Houston. I mean, they just told you where they're getting the money from.
I don't even know where Apple's coming with $500 billion in cash, because they're not even that liquid, bud. They must have investors coming in and doing this.
They're BlackRock.
State Street and Vanguard. Well, when you own trillions and trillions and tens of trillions of dollars of investments, $500 billion just doesn't seem like that much anymore.
We've got to remember, BlackRock overseas, what they have, 12 or 13 trillion in their portfolio now?
That's what they're showing on the portfolio.
Yeah.
We don't know what Vanguard and State Street does, because they're all interlocked with corporate directorships. And basically, it's like the giant primordial serpent that basically runs the whole planet.
Yeah, Apple's market cap's $3.7 trillion.
There you go.
But again, though, $500 billion out of that, that's difficult to make liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Their shares have dropped a little bit today, but again, it's all over the news now.
Here it is again. Apple spent more than $500 billion.
No, it's all. I mean, it blew up on the news this morning. I mean, it's on every single news feed now, and says Apple braces for DEI showdown as annual shareholder meeting. Apple shareholders to consider scrapping diversity programs amid backlash. Oh, $500 billion investment in the U.S. I mean, this is wild, man. I wonder how they're going to do it. They just told us so. I guess BlackRock better get to pushing some cash. That's a lot of money doing these data centers.
But remember, and I'm just going to say this, is speculation. This is not my, I'm not saying I've got any truth to this, any facts to this. But, when you control the central banks and you're Rothschild, and you can basically print money as much as you want outside of the New York Fed or outside of the Treasury, perhaps – you can do whatever you want to do, especially when you start doing digital, Austin. You just add dots and dashes.
Funny. You want to do the math on it? Top shareholders of Apple, of course, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State
Street. Oh, I wonder how we knew that.
But look at the shares and look at the market value. Vanguard holds $343 billion. BlackRock's $276 billion. State Street's $146 billion.
We don't make this stuff up, guys.
I mean, that right
run
there.
Run the screen to the top so they can see it, Austin. There you go.
It's right here.
There you go. So there you go. That's Apple.
That's $750 billion right there as far as what those top three own. $750 billion worth of Apple.
And that's not including the other management companies that are all the way down owned by BlackRock.
Berkshire Hathaway and Morgan Stanley.
That's called circular ownership, in case you guys want to know.
J.P. Morgan, Berkshire, Morgan Stanley. I mean, those are all down the list on there. Mm-hmm. Wild stuff, man. going to be an interesting ride with this. So protect your privacy as much as you possibly can anymore, because this is definitely changing. And also, too, the I want to let you guys know, I put the three-pack special. I told you guys this yesterday, of the GHI Cleanse and also the Fit Food, before I forget that, because I had a lot of people ask me about it. The GHI Cleanse three-pack kit and also the Fit, the Ultimate Multiple Powder three-pack on the website. Both of them are up on there on the kits that we have as far as the special programs. I had a lot of people that have been asking me about those that like to take those products in bulk. And so I want to make sure we did three packs, because three packs have been popular. We get a huge discount, and you get free shipping on them, and you get the ability to stay stocked up on it and be able to use it instead of ordering one can at a time or order it here and there. So, again, everybody is a heads up on that if you want to stay stocked up on the three packs of that.
Oh, by the way, this is an interesting dude. His name was Dr. Zelenko, and I've quoted this several times. I'm going to quote it again right now. He's dead now. He started talking about the stuff I'm going to mention right now, and suddenly he dies. And he was a big proponent of no vaccines.
Okay.
He goes, I am a conspiracy realist. Vanguard and BlackRock are state holders. I'll slow down. Too much protein and purple sticks. I'm going to slow down. I'm a conspiracy realist. Vanguard and BlackRock are stakeholders in all industry, media, academia, and politics. Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street invest in each other through something called circular ownership. Thus, consider Vanguard and BlackRock as a monopoly that owns everything. If they want to put $500 billion in, it's easy to do. With due diligence, you will discover that the major stakeholders of this monopoly are the Rothschild family, the DuPont family, the Rockefeller family, the Carnegie family, Orsini family, the American Bush family, and the British Royal family. They use the following foundations, plus many more, I will add, to ferment chaos around the world. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Soros Open Society Foundation, the Clinton Foundation. These foundations are instrumental for geopolitical destabilization, because chaos is good for business and power acquisition. And then he goes on to say, the owners of Vanguard BlackRock monopoly are a manifestation of the primordial serpent. Did he say that? Now we're talking Lucifer here. He goes, and then of course he ends up, and then he goes, fasten your seatbelts, enjoy the ride. Well, he's not on this planet anymore. He's not enjoying any ride anymore. But here's the point. We have to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. If we do, we can basically circumvent all of this stuff, because, oh, death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Because we don't really die. We understand that. We move into a different energy field, different state. And there's no such thing as death. Death is a lie. Heaven is real. We got to get that. And as Christians, we have the ability to bypass this stuff, and we get to look down on it like we do on this show and say, here's what's really going on. It's a manifestation of the primordial serpent. These guys have circular ownership in BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, so they pretty much own everything on the planet. And as long as we understand that, we can realize that there's only one way to the Father. That's through Christ Jesus. A lot of these evangelists are coming out and saying, oh, there's many ways to get to heaven. No, there's not. There's one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus, because he is God, who basically shed his own blood for you to sanctify you and restore you to your proper DNA so that you could be one with him through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus. Always remember that. And we've done entire shows on the blood of Christ and what it does. But always remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because we're not part of this world system. Always remember that. Now, we're in it, but we're not of it. And so we have to basically work our way through it. That's the key thing here, is we have to get ourselves through this and understand that, you know, we're just passing through, like Vin Diesel said on that one movie. What was the name of that movie, Austin? It was Riddick.
Riddick.
He gets put in that prison on crematoria. And he goes, are you an inmate or are you a convict? He goes, I'm neither. I'm just passing through. We're all just passing through this place, guys.
It's true. Also, too, in other news, this is a good, happy news story here.
I like this one. I was really fired. I got to do that protein powder more often.
I'm
kicking on all. I should have
stacked this one.
I feel like a Lamborghini. What's that car? An Aventador.
Yeah.
You know, with a normally aspirated 750 horsepower engine.
V12.
And I'm kicking on all 12 cylinders right now.
You're running pretty hard.
I'm feeling pretty good right now. Yeah.
I should have followed him on that one this morning. This is a funny story. Great story. Happy story. Starbucks is laying off 1,100 workers amid declining sales.
Sometimes things make me smile.
Yeah.
Where's the camera? This is my smile.
I'm not making fun of anybody that's losing a job, but at the end of the day,
I'm making fun of Starbucks.
Starbucks, they massively overbloated company as far as their pricing, what they stand for, their DEI progress.
$10 coffee, what the heck?
Stupid.
You get a purple stick for $2.
Well, no, I was doing the math with a buddy one time.
That's per packet, not per box.
Yeah, because he used to go to Starbucks, but she finally cut it out. And he's like, dude, I started doing the math because I was trying to work a budget. He goes, I was spending like $200 a month at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. And it's easy to do.
Yeah. Easy to do. And the problem is, too, you'll notice as you see a lot of people, guys and girls alike, they'll start drinking this coffee and they'll start gaining weight over the next couple months. Just full of the cream and sugar. And a lot of times these coffees, you look at them.
1,200 calories.
Yeah, even the average ones, they're 400, 500, 600 calories for a latte or coffee or whatever. And the problem with it is all it does is spike insulin, cause you to gain weight.
But when you get to go in. Now, this is the nice thing about Starbucks. You get to go into Starbucks.
Yeah.
And you get to walk to the counter. And you got a thing there that you don't know if it's a male or female. Half his head is shaved. The other half's purple hair. They're looking at you. They're covered in, you know, all kinds of satanic tattoos. And they go, where you at? And you look at them, you go, oh, God. I'm frightened. I'm scared right now. What do you have? I don't care. What do you get? Get what you want. You go, all right, this is crazy. And you go, oh, and you go, it's $25 for the cup of coffee. Yeah, we don't take cash. Give me your credit card, you wretch. And you're like, oh, God, this is wonderful. Oh, and if you're a Christian, get out.
If you're a gun owner,
leave. Get out. I'm going to not give you anything. And you're like, so if they have a big drop in sales, I'm good. Oh, my gosh, I have the purple
stitch. Bro, what are you doing?
I am on this.
What are you doing?
Man, I feel great.
Oh, my gosh. I don't ever want to go to Starbucks after seeing that.
And if you're a Christian, you can go straight to HE66, which, by the way, we don't get to go there, but you do with that crazy haircut. You know, but I'm not saying the haircut's the problem. It's the person's attitude is the problem. It's awful.
Well, I lost all respect for Starbucks when the CEO came out and basically paraphrased. He said, essentially, if you're a gun owner, you support the Second Amendment. We don't want you, because people were having coffee meetings and like Second Amendment meetings, and they'd open carry in some of the states. They'd go up there and get coffee. They'd have cars, you know, little car events go up there. People got guns on them. CEO was like, we're stopping this. If you carry firearms, we do not want your business. Go somewhere else. And their sales dropped off of that. Now they're saying that their sales have dropped off precipitously in the last four quarters because, I mean, you got stuff like this. You know, you can pick up a box that's retail, it's $49, three pack, it's way cheaper than that, and you get it on sale. And, you know, you're looking about $2 a serving per pack.
That's at full retail.
And then
you see what it did to me.
Yeah, if you get it cheaper, you get it way cheaper than that if you buy packs or case lots. And so instead of spending $7, $8, $9, $10 on a coffee, you're spending $2 or less on something that actually gives you health benefits, doesn't pack on any weight, stuff will actually burn body fat if you use it as
vegetables. And it's got green tea in it, which is very good for the heart and overall health.
And all the antioxidants in it. So again,
and it really geeks you up. I've never done that before. I've never mixed it with that chocolate protein.
Oh, I have. I've done it multiple times.
Woo, doggy.
Well, it stabilizes your blood sugar really good because you get the Fit Food Whey protein that's really stable. And then you throw in all that green tea caffeine.
I'm feeling like I'm 18 years old. I'm feeling all, you know, all like a rutting buck, I guess you could say. That's from the movie
Strutting Peacock.
The outlaw Josie Whale.
Yeah. Also, too, in other news, this is something that came up as well now. The common food connection between wrinkles and chronic illness. They said, looking at here, AGEs, glycation end products, may accelerate aging and link the development and progression of chronic diseases.
Make sure this gets posted.
These compounds are primarily found in foods cooked at super high temperatures, such as roasted, grilled, and deep fried items. Now,
don't do those.
Roasted or basically cooking stuff, you know, pan cooking or pan searing it is not as bad. Also, too, grilled's better, I think, with propane than it is with charcoal.
Produces a compound called the benzopyrene. And a 1 pound charcoal broiled steak is equivalent of smoking 200 cigarettes.
Yep.
And its cancer causing ability.
Don't get me wrong. I get it. I know charcoal grilled steak
is great.
It's great. It tastes good. I get it. But if you're looking at something like that, make sure you're not eating it on a regular basis because there is a lot of carcinogens to it. Deep fried or regular fried, You already know that. We've already talked about that, especially in the fact that it's almost always in canola oil or soybean oil. But it talks about how these AGEs can have damage to multiple organs, and they cause issues body with insulin, with blood sugar, causes an issue with the bones, the kidneys, the muscle, the brain, the skin. And they said poor diet increases the presence of AGEs because basically the cheaper the food and essentially these stir-fried with these fuming oils like canola oil and soybean oil, they really cause a lot of problems. And also, two foods with high levels of high fructose corn syrup.
Surprises is donuts, bagels are better alternative. Wow.
And I get it. I understand when the Krispy Kreme lights on and they got the fresh donuts that are right out of the fryer. I understand they taste good, but again, this is
terrible. That's terrible. They're saying you can't have toast anymore. Pass on that one. Yeah.
Nah, I think that's excessive on that.
Yeah. I like some good Ezekiel bread toast.
Yeah. Cooking at low temperature. Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, that's the one right there. Another one is basically shortened cooking time.
There you go.
You're all right about that. You're going to cook stuff and you just crispy fry it, cooking on the pan or whatever.
And don't deep fat fry anything in a restaurant, guys, because you don't know what the world the oil is unless you ask, and you don't know how long this business has been changed. And those high temperatures do a lot of this, and they can really cause a lot of wrinkles and really quick aging. They really can. And
cooking at lower temperatures, that's a big one. A lot of times when I cook stuff like beef or I cook ground beef or stuff in the pan, I don't like to get it super, super hot.
And so you can marinate with lemon. That'll help to reduce the amount of AGE productions.
Then obviously,
and it's a drink enough water, regular exercise.
That's a huge factor.
Send me this. Text this to me.
I'll text it to you. Hydration is a huge factor on it.
Wear a mask. What? What? Unbelievable. Delete the wear a mask part. Unbelievable.
I read the first half of the article.
Oh,
here.
My God.
I don't know where they're coming. You got somebody that basically is trying to.
This is a joke. Wear a mask is a joke.
They got to eat clean diet, stay away from basically seed oils.
And end up with an O2 deficit.
Yeah, hydration, regular exercise.
Forget the wear a mask stuff, guys.
Yeah, that's probably when the stupid.
Our listeners don't wear masks.
No, nobody wears a mask.
Well, that purple-haired, green-haired girl at Starbucks had a mask on.
Did she?
Oh, yeah, she was nice. Really good-looking woman.
So funny.
I don't know. I think it was a woman. I don't know what it was.
Well, you can't assume her pronouns or her gender, though, because that's.
If you do, you're going to get slapped.
Yeah, you're going to get arrested.
Oh, yeah.
You're in New York, misidentify someone or assume their gender. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm going to get emails on that one, boy. Yeah. But, yeah, we're almost out of time. What's your next story?
The Starbucks one is, I don't understand. There's so many other places you can go if you really want to have coffee that you can have better coffee for a lot better price. Purple sticks are way cleaner, way easier.
And green tea is good for you.
You know, I've told
plus, they're loaded with vitamins.
You know, time management is such a huge factor, whether it be in business, whether it be in life. And I talk to so many people sometimes, like, I don't have enough time for this. I don't have time for that. Well, guess what? We all get 24 hours in a day.
That's right.
Nobody gets a minute more.
You can't make time. You got to take time. You got to make it. You got to take it.
A lot of times, making stuff and adjusting your lifestyle and adjusting your time frame is crucial to being more efficient in time management. If going and driving out of your way or on your way and going to a Starbucks or a cafe and sitting in a checkout or sitting in basically a drive-through line, it's spend an extra 5, 10, 15 minutes to get that. Why don't you just go and grab something at your house or a purple stick at your house and make it when you're walking out the door? Those little things, those little changes can make dramatic increases in your efficiency throughout the day. Same thing with getting up a little bit earlier, staying up a little bit later, getting in bed a little bit earlier, and getting stuff done. Manage your time wisely. Manage your health wisely. That's why I always laugh sometimes when people go, well, I just don't have time to exercise. You don't have time to be active. You don't have time to go outside. You don't have time to go for a brisk walk. You don't have time to do any of that. But you could sit in front of the Netflix every single night and binge watch 3 to 4 hours of Netflix shows every night before you go to bed. You have time for that. But you can't drop on the floor and do 4 sets of 25 push-ups. It's all about what you want to make a priority when it comes to your health, when it comes to your exercise. Because at the end of the day, the only person that's going to do it is you, and you got to get motivated. If you need to, get with a friend or get with a buddy that basically motivates each other and keep pushing each other to do stuff in the gym, outside, anything, but do something. But don't use the excuse, I don't have time, because we all got enough time. You can see the spectrum of what people do with their time.
Jim Rohn said it so succinctly. He said, we can't make time. We have to take time.
Correct.
And a lot of people say that all the time. I need to make time for that. You can't make any time.
No.
You're getting 24 hours a day.
Like everybody does.
Well, look, Buttercup, this is all you're going to get.
Yeah.
So you're going to make a choice on what you want to do with it. or if you want to make it so it's going to be productive for you or not. It's like reading your Bible every day. You know, read a few chapters every day. It makes a big difference in your life and your overall ability to understand Scripture. And it only takes five, six minutes, read a couple chapters, and you'll go through the entire New Testament within a year. It's great. It's easy.
So, if my friends, you need anything, 3-packs are on the website, hot and running with the GHI and the Fit Food. Be sure to check them out. Y'all have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Hey, I love you. I got a chance to pray for you this morning. You guys mean the world to me. I hope you enjoyed my Starbucks impression this morning.